good morning. It's Tuesday, May 19th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. Is it a ruse? Is it a delay? Or are we about to see a deal between Iran and the United States? President Trump says the Qataris, Emiratis and Saudis persuaded him to call off military strikes and give diplomacy one more chance. Today's guest is Dr. Eli David. He says Trump is playing perfect psychological warfare, and the Iranians just don't know when the bombs will start dropping. Hear our conversation in a moment, but first the headlines. Iran's deputy foreign minister has outlined his country's demands for a deal, sanctions relief, billions of dollars in frozen assets, a permanent end to the war, including in Lebanon, and control of the Strait of Hormuz, and the right to enrich uranium. Hours earlier, President Trump said Gulf Arab states had persuaded him to abandon military strikes at the last minute. Trump says he's open to a deal, but only if it leaves Iran without nuclear weapons. A new report warns Iran could inflict major damage on neighboring countries, Israel, and the global economy if the conflict resumes. Hamid Reza Azizi, an expert at the German Institute for International and Security Affairs, says Iran has been using the ceasefire to prepare for a short and intense conflict. Azizi warns that Iran conserved much of its missile arsenal early on, and that Israel, Gulf countries, and American targets could face sustained missile fire over an extended period. The organisers of a Turkish-led flotilla on its way to Gaza say 10 vessels are still on their way to the Strip. Israeli naval forces stopped at least 39 boats belonging to the global Sumud flotilla off the coast of Cyprus yesterday. Hundreds of activists have been detained and are expected to be deported. The closest remaining vessel, the Sirius, is reportedly around 145 nautical miles off the coast of Gaza. The IDF has confirmed the elimination of a Hamas terrorist who invaded Israel on October 7th. The individual, who has not been named, was killed in an airstrike in the south of the Gaza Strip yesterday. The IDF says the terrorist had crossed the yellow line and was approaching troops, posing an immediate threat. Israel's ambassador to the United States has called left-wing Jewish organization J Street a cancer within the Jewish community. Yechiel Leiter said the group could not claim to be pro-Israel while at the same time calling for an arms embargo on a country that was fighting a seven-front war. J Street's leader, Jeremy Ben-Ari, hit back, calling on Ambassador Leiter to engage with the group. He claimed that it was increasingly representative of the views of Jewish Americans. And Elon Musk has been praising Israeli innovation. He appeared via video link at the Smart Mobility Summit in Tel Aviv. He says the country is number one in the world by far in innovation per capita, punching far above its weight despite a small population. Musk was supposed to come to Tel Aviv and speak in person, but cancelled his trip at the last minute. He said he hoped fully autonomous vehicles could be widely available in Israel, as in the United States, by the end of this year. Just before we get to today's conversation, a reminder, you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just contact us at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now, here's Dr. Eli David. It doesn't look as though the Iranians are prepared to make many concessions. What do you think happens now?
The way I read Trump's post is, you know, you have 2 days for the deadline, and if not, another 2 weeks, and then Pakistan asked me, and then this is perfect psychological warfare. Now, the other side, as far as they're concerned, the bombs could be dropping on their head later today, tonight, in 2 days, or in 2 weeks. So they have no way of knowing when it will happen, but it will happen. When I judge President Trump, I judge him only based on his actions. And since assuming office, he has been perfectly consistent in his view. Iran will not have nuclear weapons. Many of the leaks are from the Iranian side. Yesterday there was a report, I think on Reuters, that said, the Iranians are reporting that the U.S. is ready for concessions on the nuclear enrichment issue. Really? Did you hear it from anyone? Trump has always said zero enrichment. So I don't believe any of that. The Iranians aren't willing to reach a deal because at the bottom line, they do want to develop nuclear weapons. There is no civilian use whatsoever of enriched uranium above 20%. So when they enrich to 60%, the message is clear. We do want to develop nuclear weapons. Many forget that Iran already agreed to zero enrichment, Paris Agreement in 2004. After they signed it, a few months later, they started covertly building the Natanz nuclear facility. So President Trump and all his team know that even if Iran signs some deal, they're not going to abide by it. The Iranians also know that. They know that President Trump will insist on fully dismantling all nuclear facilities, taking out of Iran everything that can be used for building centrifuges. So they do know well that they cannot fool President Trump the same way they fooled Obama or fooled Biden.
What's your sense of where the Gulf Arabs are on this?
First of all, a huge respect to United Arab Emirates. This country is just a role model, not just for Muslim nations, but to all nations in the world. A few decades ago, they started the country on sand. There was nothing there. And instead of just taking the oil to enrich the corrupt leaders in some other countries, they built an advanced Western state. They showed that this advanced state is not just economically, it's morally. They were hit harder than Israel. Now, they're next door to Iran. They will be hit harder. But they have an admirable backbone and saying, we cannot live next to a country that proved that it's going to throw everything it got on its neighbors. It is going to develop nuclear weapons. So the message I hear from them is that we're willing to pay all the prices needed, but to remove the threat of the regime in Iran. What they are not willing to, and I fully agree with them, is to take the sacrifice, have many of their infrastructure destroyed, and then have the regime left in power in Iran with a bad deal that allows them to build nuclear weapons.
So it could be some action this weekend.
Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe this weekend, maybe in 2 weeks. And that's the genius of Trump. Nobody can guess. Even if the Iranians see the planes above them, they cannot know. Are they going to drop the bombs? Are we going to see a post in 2 minutes from now? Somebody asked me to postpone it. Just a reminder, before the starting of the Operation Epic Fury, Trump was doing the same. Posting, I'm going to attack. No, we're getting close to a deal. At the end of it, the Iran Supreme Leader Khamenei, which knew he was a target, they were so confused that he ended up not even being underground, allowing Israel to eliminate him. So these seemingly erratic posts of Trump's are actually priceless.
What do you make of the Israeli government's plan to make the country an AI superpower?
Everything will be transformed by AI. I think it's not open for discussion anymore. And there will be three levels of countries. The AI superpowers who are building the frontier models, right now they are United States and China, and that's the Cold War. We're in the middle of that. Every country must align themselves, and Israel, fully within the American camp, must be a major contributor to the American side. The second tier of countries will be countries heavily using AI for transformation of everything, the government, private sector, infrastructure. Hopefully, Israel will be a leader of this pack. And the third tier of countries will be countries that are ignoring AI or not taking major steps towards AI. They will be left behind. Even some of the wealthy countries today, if they ignore AI, they will be left behind. So I'm glad that Prime Minister Netanyahu is heavily focusing on this in all the talks and conversations. He mentions that Israel must become an AI superpower. And he's taking actions towards that goal.
Finally, you are the undisputed king of X. You have hundreds of thousands of followers. You are very influential. How long do you give the traditional media?
What media? I think it's dead already. We attended the funeral. I think Elon Musk, by acquiring X, he contributed more to humanity than his founding of Tesla and SpaceX and Neuralink combined. People don't remember. 2 years ago, we were on the verge of complete suppression and elimination of free speech in the West. Look at what's happening in today's dystopian Britain. The British police is knocking on people's door at 6 a.m. the morning because you posted an offensive tweet. That's what happened in the Western world. And Elon Musk single-handedly shifted the direction of the ship. Elon Musk did more for protection of the Western civilization and our freedom and speech than any other human being alive. As Elon said, it's a marketplace of ideas.
What is it about your message that really resonates?
Just speaking your mind without filters. People are just tired of people publishing those kind of polished posts that are not offensive to anyone. People respect knowing that you are posting what you're thinking. Sometimes I wake up, I open and see what Emmanuel Macron said. Every day he's providing content. And I just, on top of my mind, is I want to scream to him, go to hell, you terrorism sympathizer. And I just type that without filters. And it looks like people respect that. You can be right-wing, left-wing, conservative, liberal. It doesn't matter. Just be brave, speak up your opinion. Jordan Peterson said, it is risky to speak up your mind, but it is even riskier not to do so.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Subscribe using the link below. It just takes a few seconds. Goodbye.